And so they built it so high. But you know, you can't build nothing out of space. So let's get rid of that picture. What it was, they built it high enough and in a place to open a gate to another dimension where demonic entities, they would traffic. There are gates all over the earth like that. We're going to study it sometime. There are places where, like here, like Bethel, like over churches, that heaven's opened, where angelic intervention, activity, where the blessings of God, the presence of God, fills a certain place. God ain't going to fill the nightclub, because the heaven ain't open over the nightclub. Hell is open over the nightclub. All them seducing spirits and wild, wicked devils in there. Amen. It's a den of dirty birds. Amen. But the church, if we build it properly, if people are built properly and find their place, like on Pentecost. Now, God made a statement even here in Genesis, said nothing will be withheld from them that they imagine. They'll open this thing up. And they will cause all kind of demonic activity to flood the earth once again. But God said, let us go down. And he came down himself and on purpose confounded the speech. And all the buildings stopped. Because he saw the power of oneness. But they were building with slime. Now in Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 3. Let's start there. Ezekiel 13. And verse number 3, and then I want you to get Ezekiel 11 through 15. Thus saith the Lord God, woe unto the foolish prophets that follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. That's why I say it's important that we spend time in God's presence, that you hear his voice, that you don't just follow your own spirit in this stuff. But that you wait upon God. If God hadn't spoken, don't speak. Don't do. He will speak to you. It may be the 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second when God speaks, but he'll speak. He'll direct you. He's promised Holy Spirit will direct you into all truth. All right? Give me verse 11. Say unto them which daub it with untempered mortar. There's a phrase, untempered mortar, that it shall fall. There shall be an overflowing shower, and ye, O great hailstones, shall fall, and a stormy wind shall rend it. Lo, when the wall is fallen, shall it not be said unto you, where is the daubing wherewith you have daubed it? Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even rend it with a stormy wind in my fury, and there shall be an overflowing shower in mine anger and great hailstones in my fury to consume it. So will I break down the wall that ye have daubed with untempered mortar and bring it down to the ground so that the foundation thereof shall be discovered, and it shall fall, and ye shall be consumed in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Thus will I accomplish my wrath upon the wall and upon them that have daubed it with untempered mortar, and will say unto you, the wall is no more, neither they that daubed it. How you build and what you build with is vital. That's why, let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. When your heart is not right, your gift may be operating. But in the end, it's going to be a mess. And that's what we see across church lines in many places. Corinthian churches, gifted people, but all kind of mess because they're building with untempered mortar. What is untempered mortar? In Ezekiel, untempered, the word untempered means to smear plaster as you would a gummy substance, and it also means slime. Now, we saw that in Genesis 11, What they were building with, they were using pitch and slime. And God calls that untempered. That is not an ingredient that God will use. It also means, in another sense, frivolity, foolishness. Foolish things, unsavory things, untempered. You see, God will stress test stuff you try to build. And if it has untempered mortar, guess what? The storm is going to knock it down.
I don't know why that's always happening to me.
Well, you're building with the wrong material. You got to build with a certain type of stone. Amen. Or you got to become a certain type of stone. And I just wanted you to see that. Everybody see that? Can everybody see that? How not to build. They built the Tower of Babel with slime and pitch, with slime, untempered mortar. And it couldn't stand God's test. When God confronted it, it was over. He stopped it. It was not something that he authorized. And so you and I, in order to build his house, a place for him to dwell, each of us as lively stones must find our place. You don't want to be a stone that everybody's, every time they come in, they're stumbling over you. Because you are out of place. You understand what I mean? There's a place in the spirit. How many of we have to guard our attitudes? We have to guard, amen, our thinking processes. Okay, let's go back to the stones. So we talked about the great stones. Our next stone, and I might have touched on it already, are what we call the costly stones. In the building of Solomon's temple, and you can read the story of the building, you'll find all these different names or titles or types of stones. Costly stones. Now, we looked at how everybody's not a great stone. You may be great and you are called to greatness in your domain. But as far as God's structure of the church, you may not be called to be the leader of a church or a leader in the church, but you have a place in the church. And it's a very significant and important place. There are those that are earmarked and carved out by God to be great stones. Doesn't make them any better. You're going to see this. Doesn't make them any better than any other stone. It's just that their responsibility is greater. Their life is given over to God more. God has required and demanded more of their life. Great stones, they carry more of the responsibility. They carry the weight. See, some of us were stones, but if you got up under the stone, under the weight of a great stone, you couldn't handle it because you're not called to be that. That doesn't lessen you, nor your reward, nor your stature in God. Stop comparing yourself to anybody else. Stay in your lane. Keep your eyes on your lane. You know, if you're running a race, you can't be looking around at the other people running. You better keep your eyes on your lane lest you be disqualified. You start looking around, before you know it, the tortoise then overtook you. You done got out of your lane and you disqualified. You dropped the baton. You trip. Keep your eyes on your lane. Be like the horse with the little blinders. Blinders didn't mean they were in front. They were just on the side, so they can't see anything on the side. All they can see is straight ahead. All right, so the next are, number two, the costly stones. These are expensive stones. They are of high price and great value. Somebody see somebody right now, I'm gonna call these stones. Well, what determines a costly stone? It involves great loss or sacrifice. There are some in the church that have suffered great loss because they decided to follow Jesus. Some homes were wrecked. People persecuted, abused, misused. criticized, talked about. You know, when a Jew back in Jesus' time was converted, their family knew him no more. They'd have no dealings with him. They'd spit on him. If they saw him coming down on a sidewalk, they'd go to the other side of the street. This is family. That's what it cost them to be part of the way. But the costly stones that are part of the stones that build God's house are the stones whose lives involved great loss or sacrifice. For some of us, it was easy. And that's no, you know, no slight on you. But for some here, and you know who you are, you suffered great loss. People don't know, unless they hear your testimony, what it cost you when you became a child of God, what you lost, what you sacrificed. These are what we call the costly stones. Would you give me Philippians chapter 3? Let's take a look at a testimony of one. And now, let me say this. You're not limited to just being one of the stones. You can have the attributes of a number of these stones. And you're like, because we're living stones. Philippians 3, verse 7, Paul's testimony. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss. Whatever he had gained, he said, I had to count it loss. Well, let me give you a little background. Paul was part of the Sanhedrin. Paul had learned or sat at the feet of Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the time of the Torah, of the law. Paul was a Hebrew, what they call a Hebrew of the Hebrews. When you hear him talk about this, study it. He had high credentials. Paul spoke many languages. He was circumcised the eighth day. He was a Pharisee. Paul had it going on when you talk about degrees. He had to forsake all of that once he was converted. They turned on him. As a matter of fact, they sought to kill Paul when he got converted. Okay, go back. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Now everybody ain't got that testimony. And do count them but dung. You know what dung is, right? Okay. That I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. All services are live streamed.